You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur with Innovation for Alpha, and I am joined today by one of my favorite entrepreneurs, Eugene Malinsky, who is an engineer by background. His company is Lazarite, formerly Indago, and we have known these guys since the early stages. Terrific, terrific startup, and really, glad to have you on the show today, Eugene, and get caught up.
Thank you for having me, Tobin. I can't wait to catch everybody up on our progress.
Well, there's a lot of progress to catch up on. You've had a very busy year. Things are accelerating. Why don't you just kind of go back the last 6 months? Because there's a lot packed just in 6 months' time. What have you guys been up to?
Yeah, absolutely. Just in 6 months, and just to sort of showcase how fast we're doing things, how fast things are moving, we most importantly applied for 510K clearance with the FDA for our first to market product, that is Arthrofree. And in that timeframe, we got it. So we actually got 510K with no stoppage time in exactly 3 months. So I'm very proud to say that Arthrofree is now the world's first fully wireless, minimally invasive camera system that has been FDA cleared. It's been a gratifying experience to get to that point. And obviously it took 6 years of work to get to the point where you can submit and get a 3 month approval. But it was fantastic. And that's really sort of a testament to the team here, the product, and our vendors who helped us along the process.
You know, you're going to make other entrepreneurs jealous, by the way, when they hear such a fast track to FDA, they're going to think, what in the world? Mine was not that simple. But that is unusual. I mean, you guys have done a terrific job. And maybe just for those not familiar with the company, let's go back just a little bit. What was the driving force to get this company started? And by the way, for those that don't know, the company's based in Cleveland, which is an incredible center of not only engineering, but healthcare talent. But talk about the beginnings of Lazarite.
Yeah, happy to. So very briefly, it's a little bit of my background. My background, as so when you mentioned, I have an engineering background. I also have a medical background. I'm also a quote-unquote serial entrepreneur. So the company that I had prior to what became Lazarite was a company called Dragon ID. Dragon ID was a medical device sort of consultancy innovation company. We had a number of, we were almost 20 people, and we did work in cardiac, ortho, neuro, wearable, so quite a broad range of fields. I was doing a project. I happened to be in an orthopedic operating room. It was being set up for surgery. The patient was already in the room, under the drapes, already intubated, and a PA walked by the bed and tripped and fell on the camera that was going to do the minimally invasive surgery, and then wiped out, and they had to sort of get the patient out, and it was a disaster. It's what's called a never event. And so that made me sort of stop and freeze and think, like, even 6 years ago, you look around and you're like, wow, everything is wireless. And you look around this operating room, and by the way, none of this has changed, right? This hasn't gotten better in the meantime. Right. It may have even gotten worse. But you look around this operating room, and there's wires everywhere. Mm. They're on the patient, they're on the floor, they're on the bed, they're on the walls. And it's crazy. And the sort of that led to sort of this ideation of, well, we should start making this wireless, we should make this sort of more intuitive, safer. And then as I sort of started going down this road, and the products, what became the first company product that's now called Arthrofree, it sort of became evident how much this was requested, how much has been required, how much of a boon to safety it is. And really the way that to sort of showcase that is virtually every time I walked into a facility and spoke to a physician who had never heard of us, right? This is when we were sort of in stealth mode and just starting out. I would ask sort of the question like, what would you do? Or do you need a wireless camera? And the usual overwhelming response was, kid, we've been wanting one for the last 30 years. So if you think you can make one, yes, we'd love to have one. Uh-huh. So that was, that was gratifying to hear. And that sort of got things going. We were then able to turn to those physicians and those physician champions, and actually a number of them became our investors, including through the AngelMD platform. They've also been great. So we, at this point, have more than 70, I think 75, 76, I think maybe even higher now, physicians who are investors in the company who have come in at various stages. And we partner with our physicians and with some of the PAs and the nurses in order to drive our development and our design. So things like human factors, we didn't sort of come out and say, hey, for this first product, Arthrofree, this is how we think it should look. We actually laid out a number of units with different physicians and actually took their feedback and listened to them. And so right now, so fast forward a number of years, and a whole bunch of patents and innovation and two steps forward, one step back, and everything that every sort of startup has to deal through. If you sort of fast forward to today, we're now at this point where we have FDA clearance. We're shipping our first units this summer. We're expecting revenue this summer. But I'm showing up to a location and the docs are genuinely excited to see us, to meet us, because they heard about the fact that we have a wireless system. And they're like, I want to get it into my hands. And then we put it into their hands. They try it out. They're like, I want to get it to my facility. The sooner we can schedule an eval for a couple of days at my facility to see if we can purchase it, the better. So
I want to come back to the current, but let me go back real quick, because you mentioned there's wires all over the OR. Why did you zero in on the camera as the first point? And then that ties to, you've also alluded to the fact that this isn't a single product company. There's a pipeline of products that are going to play off this. It's effectively a platform, but why start with the camera?
Yeah, that's a great question. And at the beginning, right, we had options about what we were going to focus on, because although the incident I saw was a trip on the camera, and maybe that weighed heavily sort of on my consciousness, but there's, as you said, there's other cables. But I think after sort of doing market research, market analysis, product market fit, fundamentally, if you sort of zoom out, so right, we've been talking a little bit about orthopedics, which sort of happens to be our first target market. But if you zoom out, in order to do any minimally invasive surgery, I don't care what it is, right? A lap chole, a GYN procedure, an ENT procedure, sort of almost virtually any endoscopy or endoscopic procedure, you fundamentally need two things. You need a light into the body, right? The body's dark inside, you're only making a very small incision. And you need a video out of the body. And the camera, when you consider that, is the piece of equipment or the piece of almost an extension of the surgeon's hands or their eyes, is this camera is in their hand the entire time they're doing any one of these millions of surgeries, literally millions of surgeries in the US that are MIS. You have to have a camera, and every one of those is wired.
That makes sense. And then The second part, it was, you alluded to a portfolio. It's a platform. Just talk briefly about what that means to you guys. You started with this product that's now cleared. It's commercial. You're selling units, but it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't. So just on the first product, no, that's a great question. So just on the first product itself, right, Arthrofree, when I said that we had FDA clearance, we actually asked the FDA to clear the use, the indication for use, to not just be orthopedic, but to be very broad. So that covered things like endoscopy lab, GYN, all of these other things. As long as they were compatible with our system, we wanted to make sure that a surgeon or their staff could use our system. And so when we applied to the FDA, we actually asked for all of that, and we were very, very fortunate that the FDA actually allowed that as part of our clearance. So our indications for use are very broad. So we're starting just on Arthrofree, so just the video system. That's a broad platform that allows us entrance into a massive $30, $40, $50 billion market that's growing. I think the last numbers I saw were like 7% annually. So it's a very big market with a lot of sort of momentum behind it. So that's sort of at the very sort of one end of the fact that it's platform tech. Broader than that, our patents are sort of generally fit into two categories, or three categories if you want to count it that way. We have a number of patents around the video technology and what went into making the camera itself. We then have a lot of patents and fundamental technology and a platform around the light. In order to make our system work, we virtually had to invent the new lighting technology that's in essence better than LEDs in some ways. So we're actually using that as part of our system. And then we had to do a lot of other stuff and sort of both platform tech and technology to support both of these. So this is, Arthrofree is our first product. We're of course going to have additional versions of Arthrofree. But beyond that, as you've been alluding to, there's other wires in that operating room. We can probably make them wireless, but we're also strongly looking at the lighting sector because we have such a strong light technology. We are looking to introduce our next, one of our next products is going to be a lighting tech. And probably that's going to come late next year, mid next year. We'll see sometime, but sometime probably I'd say closer to late next year, we'd actually be introducing a light technology based on our fundamental Meridian light engine. So we're sort of looking at this as a multi-product play. And then there's a lot of other things we can do in that operating room that really drive integration and that really sort of drive the future. I'm not going to obviously give too much away, but the way that I would frame it for any of the listeners to this is this. If we're providing with our camera system, we're providing what I just said, a light into the body and video out of the body, right? There's a moment in time when we own the entirety of everything that the surgeon sees, what they have to do surgery with. What can we build on top of that?
Yeah, no, I get it. And by the way, so we'll come back to the present, and I want to talk about the opportunities for ASCs and surgeons and so forth currently. But one more thing on that front. So when you were looking at this problem initially, and you've got your engineering hat on, what were the hard problems technically that you needed to solve? Were they, you mentioned, kind of alluded to the light issue and the so forth. Was wireless one of those issues, you know, wireless in the OR? What were the hard engineering issues?
Yeah, so the hard engineer, you actually hit two of them, and the other one was sort of power size balance. So here, we'll go with some of the sort of easier ones to talk with. So battery. It's a battery powered device. We had a lot of input from our surgeons, and just sort of our knowledge and of the space itself is that nobody's going to tolerate holding something for some periods of time if it's heavy. Nobody wants to be changing batteries out frequently. And so we sort of had a challenge, and then the industry itself sort of has a challenge around battery, let's call it sterilization, and how you actually put batteries into devices. And so we had this interesting challenge of, it was a chemistry challenge, but it was also sort of a form factor challenge of how do we provide the longest amount of runtime in the smallest amount of space, in the most robust and safe manner that we can, right? That's the third, and potentially because it's healthcare and you have people's lives on the line, that's the most important way of looking at it. And so we were fortunate enough, we actually won a grant here from a Cleveland-based organization to work with NASA. For those who don't know, Cleveland is one of the major NASA facilities. We have a NASA Glenn here. It's an amazing facility. And one of their specializations happened to be power for spaceflight. And in essence, we talked with them and they sort of looked at our requirements and they gave us some advice. And the advice that they gave us was, if you do X, Y, Z, this is what we do for the batteries that go out into space onto satellites. And if we can do that, then you guys can definitely do it for your application.
Wow.
And we were like, cool. Thank you.
For whatever reason, and this may be way off, I have in mind, like when you go to Home Depot and there's a whole series of like Ryobi equipment, you know, where you've got a battery and then I can pop that battery. Same sort of problem on a bigger scale from the standpoint of, I don't want to hold a leaf blower that's super heavy. I also need it to last a certain amount of time. And then if I am going to swap out batteries and have a bay of batteries, it's got to be really quick and easy to do that. And so there's this whole series of things at Home Depot that are all untethered because of this battery. Is there any similarity to that on a smaller, you know,
that's exactly what it is. So that you actually, that's exactly what it is. And in the current ORs, right, there are things that are battery powered. So like there's drills, for example, if you're doing orthopedics, but those tend to be very big, very heavy, bulky battery packs that run out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to provide something that was a light, easy, ergonomic solution that would last a while. But it's also a limitation, right? If you're sort of thinking about the technical challenge, and I have my engineering hat on, the amount of power we can pull from that battery is my limitation, which then leads to my two other sort of problems, because there nothing is ever independent of each other.
That's right.
Nothing ever exists in a vacuum. And so let's put the battery off to the side here for a second. Then we run into this issue of wireless. And you get into, again, a little bit of some politics here and a little bit of sort of how the U.S. versus the rest of the world certifies stuff. But the shorter version of it is that Wi-Fi, as all of us think of Wi-Fi, is really not something that the FDA likes per se in an operating room for a critical patient environment or critical patient transport. And here, if I'm pushing or pulling, I should say, live video from inside the patient, and let's say I'm connected to the Wi-Fi is connected to the hospital network, and the hospital network is being attacked by a hacker, right? Like, you can't be in a position where you're losing video and you'd have to potentially scrub your surgery, or the patient could die in the worst case scenario possible where the video goes out, right? So you can't, that is not something that the FDA looks kindly on. So we sort of went a different way around the problem. And instead of using like Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or anything like that, we actually, based on some of my experience in prior life, we actually went with a military grade UWB ultra wideband solution. So we ended up being able to integrate this UWB on top of our system. And then so that's our part of the problem. And then the other problem that I sort of alluded to with the batteries, it needed to be low power. And so it also provided a very sort of low power wireless solution. And then everybody's going to ask, well, what about latency or lag, right? And the surgeons are very, they don't necessarily know that they are. Some do, some don't, but they don't, they need to, when they're operating, right, they're not looking at the body. They're not looking inside the body. There's nothing to see there. It's a minimally invasive surgery. They're looking at a screen that's in front of them. So when they're manipulating their hands or their tools, the image from the camera to the screen needs to be instantaneous or near instantaneous, right? You're not truly instantaneous.
Right.
And so we spent quite a bit of time on latency, what's called latency reduction, latency optimization. And we got to the point where we were very happy with it. The surgeons were very happy with it. And it's virtually unseen now. So we got to a good spot. And then the third sort of major technical challenge that we had to overcome, which I'll sort of preface and say that we solved this problem and then sort of realized that, holy crap, we solved a much bigger problem and that this is sort of a platform technology and this can, this by itself can drive the company forward multiple product families in and even really broadly outside of medicine. So, and that's lighting. And the issue we ran into is that we sort of tried a whole bunch of different LEDs. And let me go step back to contextualize this for anybody who's listening who doesn't necessarily know this. And when you're doing this surgery, right, for anybody who's doing this minimally invasive surgery, I don't know if anybody's like, Tobin, have you had like a shoulder arthroscopy or like an endo procedure or anything like that?
I haven't had it myself, but I've watched them.
You've watched them. Okay. So for anybody that's listening, right, like when you walk into that operating room with a physician, like you're intubated, but there's this camera, there's all these wires, and there's this wire that goes from the camera that provides the video signal, and then there's other cable that's a really thick fiber optic cable that goes from the current light. It's a box. Think of like a really big DVR recorder or something like that, maybe even bigger. And it is just this giant light source. It's a light in a box that has a fiber optic cable that goes to the scope, the bit that goes inside your body and provides illumination inside the body. Those cables are bulky. They're tough to clean. They can cause operating room fires. As you heard, they cause trips and falls. There's all sorts of other problems with them. But the one I just alluded to is the fires. We tried. Oh, and they also draw a lot of power, right? They are 400 watts, 300 watts, whatever it is. They're very, very power hungry. We ran into this problem where I tried all sorts of commercial and even non-commercial, like off-the-shelf LEDs, and even automotive grade or like really some rare ones. And I ran into this problem where if I was bright enough, I was now likely no longer safe enough because it was so, because if I have this brightness, it was now causing fires. But even if I could mitigate that, more importantly, it was drawing too much battery power, right? Going back to my issue about the battery, is right, nothing's ever independent. And so I sort of ran into this triangle problem that whatever problem I solved with LED, I would still have the two other sides of the triangle I could solve. And we ended up sort of solving this by inventing our own light technology. We call it the Meridium light engine. It is a non-LED light source. Without getting too technical here, the short version is we figured out how to make a more efficient light source in a relatively small space. And we are actually using that as part of our first product, Arthrofree. So to bring it back to the start of the conversation, we've gone through what is the most rigorous testing process and certification process by getting FDA clearance. And it was done with our brand new light source, which should sort of showcase its ability to be a platform technology. And to contextualize it in a different way, our entire system, from the batteries, this is wireless, all the video processing that we're doing, all of the capture, and the light is under 4 watts.
Wow.
That's you incredible. You have 400 watts on just your light box. We're two orders of magnitude less than that.
That's crazy. And I wonder too, because power sources, the other thing that comes to mind to me is heat. I'm wondering if you're changing the heat signature in the OR through this.
Oh yeah, no more fire. Yeah, you cannot. We've actually tested this. This is one of our things, is you cannot catch that drape on fire. You can no longer catch the patient on fire. You go from 192 degrees C to less than 43 degrees C. And we've shown that with our light source. Like it never gets hotter than warm.
That's very cool. That's unbelievable. All right. So let's fast forward. So you guys just get your clearance. You're now getting orders. You're going to begin shipping this summer. Talk to us about the balance of this year, just on that side, in terms of who is ordering these, who is getting demos, how do they get a hold of you guys, what's going to be the lag in terms of manufacturing, because I'm guessing demand is going to far outstrip your manufacturing ability for a while. Maybe I'm wrong, but give us some sense of all of that.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great question. We actually don't want for it to outstrip us so tremendously. So as a company, and I think this is a little bit relevant to this conversation, sort of as a company, we, at the beginning of this year, sort of took a not insubstantial risk. We invested a good portion of money from our last round from our, what I'd say is a Series B. We invested actually into securing our supply chain. We now look like freaking geniuses for doing that. So we'll actually have products to ship this summer, which is very important, right? Like we want to make sure we're saying we're going to do this work, we're doing it, we're meeting demand. So our supply chain for this year is in good shape. We are working on securing it for next year. And what we're seeing, your question was who's doing, what's the flow of the sales? The flow of the sales, generally speaking, goes like this. We sort of either have inbound or outbound contact before the top of the funnel. And then because it is such a visceral device, it's for the surgeons especially, right? They work with their hands. Like you can tell them what something is or what something looks like. You can show them pictures, but until you put it into their hands, they'll discount it significantly. So we've been going around via whether it's like a trade shows, like we just came back from one, or we sort of go out to a facility and sort of do a cadaver or whatever it is. But our goal has been getting the device into surgeons' hands for them to try it out for at least a few minutes. And virtually within 5 minutes, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I get it. Of course. Yes. Like, let's talk about what we're doing next. And then the step after that is we work with them to understand purchasing, whether we're in the right cycle, how things are going. And then we work with them and probably the facility they're at in order to put together two simultaneous things, sort of an estimate from us as well as what we're calling the eval, the evaluation at their facility on patients. So we're going to start our first evals on our first run, that's like midsummer. that's happening very soon. We're going to start ramping those up. We will be making some very public announcements on who those are soon. I don't want to spoil the fun. But it's, I think the names and the faces are going to be recognizable to the industry is the way I'm going to put it. But what we're looking to do and what we've been doing is we've been just scheduling evals and then very quickly going from a couple day eval, no more than a week, right? We don't want to be in facility for months at a time. Like, guys, you either like it or you don't. Move on. Really just getting to that getting to that purchase order and installation. So that's been our plan for the remainder of this year. We're looking to install a significant number of Arthrofreeze at facilities across the country. And then into next year, we have a strong orthopedic focus for sort of a number of reasons, but a lot of our physicians are orthopedic focused. We're going to start also going to the other markets, the endo markets, the lab markets. So they're just as hungry for our system. But in order, we want to make sure we can meet demand from one sector before we go into two or three others.
That makes sense. By the way, I was thinking there's a Peloton manufacturing facility you can probably pick up cheap right now.
So I've heard.
So all of that kind of leads to capital. The company is exploding, is going to just continue to grow like a weed. You guys finished up your B round and a note on your towards your C round in record time. I mean, in matter of weeks. Tell us a little bit about your capital plans for the next, 6-12 months.
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're very much focused on putting capital towards growth and sort of market presence and availability and securing our supply chain, right? We can't sit on our laurels. We're hiring pretty much now on a daily basis. We're bringing on distributors, channel partners. So, our existing capital is almost entirely being bookmarked for sort of Excel. We're at, if you sort of think of like the traditional company that sort of goes through that major growth curve, we're at the bottom there and starting to ramp up. And as everybody knows, that's a very costly proposition. So we're starting to put capital out for ramping that up and making sure we can meet our demand. And then, of course, additional capital is always welcome. And if there's any listeners here, feel free to reach out. We'd be more than happy to talk about what we're planning and how we're looking to do it.
And you've turned a corner. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just characterizing it generally, you've gone through earlier stages, as you mentioned, lots of individuals had a chance to participate. You're now getting to a commercial stage where, investment bankers involved, you're looking at strategics, family offices. I mean, they need to be large investors at this point to take you to the next level. What are the opportunities, and who should, on the other end of that, this discussion, who should be saying that that's a group I need to talk to? Is that a family office? Is that a strategic? Is that a high net worth individual? What is the profile that you're still able to take in?
Yeah. So I'd say all of the above. And in addition to that, I'd say the traditional VC, the say low to mid market PE, virtually everybody that has sort of any interest in this space, I think there are value prop is very easy. So just on sort of the one product, the value prop is easy. If you sort of add our pipeline, that actually raises it a bit and makes it very interesting. And my personal preference is somebody who, I'm not going to sort of say like patient money because we need someone to wait for 5 to 7 years, right? Like we're past that point, but still patient money, but also operational money. So folks who have operational expertise, the scaling and the growth expertise is always welcome. I have an amazing team. I have an amazing board that is very active. If anybody wants to see it, they can go to our website. So we have a lot of help, but we're never going to say no to help. Again, growth, operations, very important bits to meet of the puzzle. And then somebody, and again, this doesn't all have to be in one firm, right? If we have, say, a lead investor or a couple leads, or a couple of co-investors, like that would be okay, in the sense that maybe somebody has the operational side, but the other side is, right, we have this lighting portion, we have a very deep technology portion to the company. So if there is knowledge and expertise and the understanding of where we could go, if given the runway and if given sort of the time to make an impact, that would be sort of the other side of that investment pool that I'd be very interested in talking with. Because right, we have an expertise, right? So like we're going to continue doing medicine. And as I sort of alluded to, we have some products in the pipeline that cover that. But some of these other sectors that we've had interest from, I'd love to do a licensing deal. I'd love to have deep conversations, whether we do them or not. May be driven by an investor who comes in and understands that, hey, green energy is a huge deal these days. How can I help leverage that?
Eugene, one of the things I love about you is that you're constantly learning, you're coachable, you're self-aware, many things that a lot of entrepreneurs are not. And you know, you're at a stage here where you're starting to have some fun because things are accelerating. But as you alluded to earlier, that's because of a lot of years of hard work that went behind that. You also understand there's still hard work ahead. It's just different different things. So, you know, you're still aligning yourselves with people that can continue to help you in the next phase of your journey, which will be different. But you do have great people around you. You guys are very fortunate in that respect. You're going to be, I think, sort of the blueprint, the playbook for how to do a medical device company right. And hats off to you. It's been a lot of fun watching you. We are enormous fans and want to continue to help you as, you know, wherever that may take you. And it sounds like the opportunities are going to continue to open up. So congratulations, not just to you, but as you always say, you've got a great team around you, great people. Thanks to Nikki too, for helping to prepare for this. As you've got a few extra hands now, you can take a few of the hats off that you've been wearing for the last couple of years. But again, thanks for taking a little bit of time today. We'll stay close to the progress over the next couple of months. We'll put information in the show notes for anybody that wants to talk to Eugene's team about the product, getting it into your facility for demoing and purchasing and or investment. These are going to be two big focuses for the coming year. And then as you allude to, maybe strategics that have an idea about thinking about where to take this beyond the light source and even outside of healthcare. So really good stuff, Eugene. Congratulations.
Oh, I deeply appreciate it. Thank you, Tobin. And this was wonderful.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.